Hello, everybody. Following on from the induction service last week, I thought we'd think a bit about names. I'm going to read from Exodus 3, 11 to 14. Moses has just been going about his ordinary daily shepherding when he meets with God in a supernatural way in the form of a burning bush. God tells Moses that he has seen the way his people are suffering and he's going to rescue them. But Moses is the one God is asking to get the ball rolling. Exodus 3, verse 11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" My names were chosen specifically for their meanings. Elizabeth means consecrated to God, and Anastasia means resurrection. I wonder if you know what your name means. Maybe you'd like to go and find out if you don't already know. I've been considering some of the names that we used at the family meeting to describe Light of Life, who we are now and who we believe God is calling us to be. You won't be surprised, I hope, to know that these include inclusive, welcoming, family and creative. Our Light of Life website states that our name, Light of Life, reflects our desire to be a beacon of light in our community. As you've travelled around our community this past week, how have you been bringing the light of God into it? How have you been shedding light on injustice, on people and issues that grieve the heart of God? How have you been highlighting God's love in your home and workplace and amongst friends? How does your life point like a beacon to the source of all light and truth? Let's pray together. Lord God, Father, Son and Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, there's two names already, Rock and Redeemer. A rock conjures up images of stability and solidity, something that can be relied upon. I've some rather beautiful rocks on display in the cottage. It never ceases to amaze me the colours, patterns and textures that God creates in his world, even in seemingly insignificant things like rocks. Beautiful rocks might not be immediately visible and need searching for, but nonetheless, they are there all along. Redeemer is a word that we'll look at more when we study the book of Ruth later in the autumn. We associate certain qualities with a name. Kevin is often assumed to be the Reverend rather than me. Ethan's nickname, well, it used to be Pickle when he was a baby, but that soon became a self-fulfilling prophecy, so we dropped that one. His nickname now is Giraffe, not only because he's 6'3", but because his skin has discoloration on his torso. Of course, the choosing of names had even greater significance in Bible times. A name might signify someone's destiny. Abraham means father of a multitude. Or it might signify a physical attribute like Ethan. The name Esau in the Bible means hairy. Or names may even signify the state of a nation. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 4 that an Israelite woman was about to give birth when she heard that the Israelites had been defeated by the Philistines, the Ark of the Covenant taken, her husband and father-in-law were dead. She therefore named her son Ichabod, meaning the glory is departed from Israel, and with that she died. What a name! Fancy your name meaning God's not here. So it's not surprising that there are a number of occasions in the Bible where God changes a person's name to suit the situation. Abram became Abraham, which subtly changed the meaning from exalted father to father of many. It had to do with a change in Abraham's purpose and calling. Abram was named by his father, the one who had responsibility for him. But when Abram left his father's house and headed out on his own, God now takes responsibility and changes his name. We see the same scenario with Jacob, who after leaving his father's house had his name changed to Israel. Jacob not only had a change in authority, but also in character. Sarai, whose name means princess, became Sarah, my princess. A small change, yet Sarah grows into a woman who trusts God's promises. She is God's princess, rather than Sarai, the princess who laughed at God's promises in disbelief. I wonder if you know anyone who's changed their name. Names are powerful. And when it comes to God, even more so. So let's reflect on a few. And it might be that one of these names strikes a chord with you, depending on what situation you're in at the moment, whether that's good or bad. And I suggest that you hang on to that name, let it resonate with you. Let it speak to you of the all-sufficient God who is present with us. If you remember one thing from this, just take one name that you need to hear. Our reading from Exodus speaks of what is for me one of the most significant names, and I will come to that, but I've selected others too. So firstly, Elroy, the God who sees. In Genesis 13, we find Hagar abused and abandoned. She names her son Ishmael, meaning the God who sees. From the start of life, we have an inbuilt need to be seen. Mum, watch what I'm doing, was a familiar cry in our house. My attendance at sporting and musical events was important for my children to know that they've been seen. There are no circumstances in our lives that escape God's fatherly awareness and care. I hope we all have at least one person in our lives who sees us, sees when we're feeling troubled, someone who can read those tiny inferences and gestures, those that only a close friend can interpret, even if we try to hide them. But even if we don't have that person, God sees our situation. He knows our thoughts and feelings. Jesus too knew the thoughts of those around him without being told. He knew Judas was about to betray him, and he knew that the religious leaders thought what they thought when he forgave the paralysed man. I wonder, do you need to know that you are not alone, that God sees you? Elroy, the God who sees me. El Shaddai means the all-sufficient one. In Genesis 17:1, we read, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. God is the all-sufficient source of our blessings. God is almighty, all-powerful. Whatever our problems, they are not too big for him to handle. And if you need to know that God is in control, that his hand is upon you, whether you're 99 or 9, his might knows no bounds. May God be your El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. Yahweh. Jews revere the name Yahweh so much they do not speak it aloud. This began about 500 BCE when they used the title Adonai rather than the personal name of Yahweh. It is the name used in our reading in Exodus. It means I am who I am. Or because tenses are difficult to translate, I will be what I will be. We thought about it back in July. In the Hebrew it's spelt YHWH, sounding like a breath, reminding us of the constant life-giving essence of God as we breathe in and out, something we do every moment of every day without even thinking about it. The ever-present, sustaining nature of God is a constant reality in our lives. I do wonder if Moses felt God's response to his question, well, what am I going to tell the people? And God replying, I am, was adequate. Yet it is said with authority. It's almost as if God is beyond naming. He simply is. He doesn't need to give a reason. He will be what he will be. I wonder if you need to sit quietly this week and, as you breathe in and out slowly, ponder the presence of God. He is. Jehovah. We're going to finish by looking at two names beginning with Jehovah. Firstly, Jehovah Jireh, meaning God provides. I don't know if you remember the song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. In Genesis 22, verse 13, Abraham was stopped from sacrificing his son Isaac. We read, Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. I know someone who recently stepped out in faith financially and asked a friend to pray about this. Within hours, a £5 note literally blew to their feet, and despite asking those in the street up ahead, no one had lost any money. They said it was a blessing from heaven. I wonder, do you need to know God's provision? Maybe not financial, but God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Finally, though not exhaustively, because we cannot adequately name God, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. In Judges 6, we read that the Israelites had again forgotten God, until, of course, they needed him. Oppressed by the Midianites, they cried out for help. And God sends help in the form of an angel to Gideon. But Gideon doesn't recognise the angel and thinks that he's being teased. Gideon's hiding. He's no mighty warrior, as the angel names him. In verse 23 we read, But the Lord said to him, Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it, The Lord is Peace. Now Gideon's name means hacker, obviously not as we use the term today. It's a name of destiny, anticipating Gideon's hacking down of the sacred poles of Baal used in idol worship. Unlike Gideon himself, the angel is fully aware of Gideon's potential. And following further encouragement, Gideon receives the peace God has brought, enabling him to live up to his name. I wonder, do you need to know today that Jehovah Shalom believes in your potential, enabling you to know his peace? As we draw to a close, I want to issue a word of caution. God has many names, but that doesn't mean we can simply pick the ones we like, discarding all the others. Although different names certainly mean different things to us at different times. But God is not some talisman for us to use our convenience. Yes, he is a God who sees. He sees injustice suffered, but he also sees the perpetrator of that injustice. God is Jehovah Jireh, a God who provides. But that doesn't mean we don't need to help others. I'm sure you can think of other names. The Ancient of Days, Fortress, Refiner, Shepherd, Our Father, Abba Father, the Alpha and Omega, Saviour, Comforter, Counsellor, the Bread of Life, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, the Light of the World, the Prince of Peace, the Word, the Resurrection and the Life, King of Kings. God is indescribable, yet it doesn't stop us trying. He is. I am. Psalm 8, verse 1 says, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's pray together. Lord God, Father, Son and Spirit, thank you for the names that speak of your protection and provision and salvation. And more than this, we thank you that you are the great I am. You are ever present, surrounding us, going before and behind us. We are so glad to call you Father and be accepted into your family. Lord Jesus, you're indescribable. Your names speak of new life, of nourishment and peace, and point us towards God's love for us. We praise you, the King of Kings, who became the suffering servant for our salvation. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your work within us, comforting, guiding, and strengthening us. Teach us to hear your promptings better. Lord God, Father, Son, and Spirit, you have summoned us by name. You know each of us completely. You know the potential that we have within us. We come now and offer ourselves as individuals and as Light of Life Baptist, knowing that whatever our name, you call us to grow and mature into your likeness. We praise you, the great I Am. Amen.